To help support this podcast
and get exclusive bonus content and rewards,
make a monthly pledge at
patreon.com/universebox.
And remember to think outside. Greetings from Storybrooke. I'm Bill Meeks.
And I'm Anne-Marie Simone.
And this is The Asylum, and the inmates are definitely in charge. We also talk about ABC's hit series, Once Upon a Time. How are you doing tonight, Anne-Marie?
I'm spectacular. And yourself?
Awesome. I am doing awesome, actually. And so are our chatters over in the chat room at... What's the chat room? Live.universebox.com, where we usually record on Monday nights, 8:30 p.m. EST.
Like right now.
Yes, like right now. Not for commentaries, be warned. You know, those
might just pop up in your feed.
Those are pre-recorded because we have a lot of magic juice in those. So
we
sometimes
have a lot of magic juice.
We might need some edits now and again.
Every now and then.
But tonight, we're very excited because this is going to be our first fan episode, our first fan-led episode. I'm super pumped about
it. It's so cool.
Basically, if you guys listen to our listener roundtable back in what was that tradition? What was that? May, I think, late May.
I don't know.
Late May, yeah. But for our listener roundtable, Hope suggested having a bunch of people, a bunch of fans, listeners of the show,
come
on the podcast and, you know, take over. So we were like, okay,
here you go.
That sounds fun. So last Thursday, they over on Hope's YouTube channel, they went ahead and recorded actually a pretty tight episode, mm-hmm. about our usual about a minute, 10 minute, or
a minute?
an hour.
It's only a minute long.
An
so
hour 10, an
get
hour
ready with
15.
Your stopwatch.
So, you know, they did respect the time limits and everything, mm-hmm. very good, which I was very happy with. I haven't watched it. Anne-Marie watched some of it. I watched, like, the last 10 minutes, like, the sappy stuff, so I wouldn't be all bally and stuff. But I'm very excited to see what they come up with. One word of warning, I know when I did peek in on it when it was going on, I did hear, like, one curse word that we normally wouldn't allow on the podcast to slip out.
But it's a fan show, so you'll have that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So you know, if you have some kids around or something, they our kids, our listeners, get a little excited. So, you know, if you have issues with language, you might want to, you know, put in some headphones, you know, something like that. Yep. But, okay, so we're going to be over in the chat room at live.universebox.com chatting with everybody while all this is going on. But I guess we should go ahead and start the show, right? Yeah, and I see Hope and Bobby, and I think Liz.
Liz
in there now? Excellent.
Let's see, we have Angel, Bobby, Liz, mm-hmm. Hope, Muster, and Michael Lucero.
So, for once, not only can you chat with the regular host of Greetings from Storybrooke, but you can also chat with the temporary host that we're about to play right now. So let's go ahead and take it away, Bobby, Hope, and Liz.
Ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka, ooga chaka, ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka, ooga.
I can't stop this feeling deep inside of me. Girl, you just don't realize what you do to me. When you hold me. In your arms so tight that you let me know everything's alright. Hooked on feeling, dun-dun-dun, high on believing, dun-dun-dun-dun, you're in love with me. Yay! That's our theme song, so we don't have the music. Yay!
Greetings from Storybrooke. I'm not Bill Meeks.
And I'm not Anne-Marie DeSimone.
And this is a magical podcast where people come together over the love of a show. We're also going to talk about ABC's hit series, Once Upon a Time. Hi there, not Bill Meeks and not Anne-Marie DeSimone.
Hey.
Why don't we all introduce ourselves? You guys can begin. Bobby?
That's me. I'm Bobby. You hear me every week at the little 2 or 3 minute or more voicemail every week. And hey.
And my other lovely host, Liz.
Hello.
And then I'm Hope Molinax of Hope of All Trades. So welcome to the crazy. The inmates have taken over the asylum. Ha 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 ha. We're actually doing a very special episode here. Bill and Anne Marie are moving to another state, so we wanted to come together and just give them a week off. So going into season 5, we want to take a look at the show as a whole, like what has stayed with us, what resonates with us, how did we find the show. This is going to be a very personal fan episode that we wanted to give to you, just from 3 crazy fans, and we've taken over. And like which of our episodes are our very personal favorites. So you guys get ready?
Ready as well.
Ready. All right, so we're going to talk about our origin stories. And by origin stories, I mean how we found the show. So, Liz, why don't you begin?
Okay, so I remember the series before it even started. I was hooked on it because I saw the advertisements for the show, and it was at Comic-Con before it even aired. It was up on that summer before it aired, and I watched the videos and anything I could get a hold of regarding the show, I was watching, I was paying attention to it. And just, you know, so I was aware of it from the beginning, and I knew it was going to be a hit. It was the kind of show that I knew I was just going to love from the get-go, because it's all about fantasy and fairy tales. I'm a big Disney freak, so I just knew it was the right show for me.
Nice. My story is going to be full of much more haterade, so maybe Bobby should go first.
Let's see, when I first heard about the show, I believe it was, I read that it was going to be based on Fables, which is a comic I got really into, a Vertigo comic, but as soon as Marvel bought ABC, there was no way that was going to happen, so I'm guessing they just took the rough idea, and very rough idea, because I don't believe this is, like, really akin to Fables at all, in my opinion. But I'm a fan of sci-fi and fantasy, have been for as long as I can remember, and at any kind of high concept show that comes on the air, I always watch at least the first few episodes. So, you know, I watched the first season, I was hooked. Robert Carlyle, I've always been a fan of. The series he did just before this was SGU, and I'm a huge Stargate fan of SGU, Stargate Universe. He played a very similar role in that show, and that was another key ingredient to me finding Once Upon a Time.
It's interesting that Fables, like, mixes in so much, because that's actually one of the reasons why Bill started watching the show, because he was a fan of Fables. And to add to some of that, that's actually why in the beginning I hated Once Upon a Time. I was very anti-Once in the beginning, because I was a huge fan of Fables, and actually Fables was supposed to be a pilot first. It was in the works of a pilot. They were trying to get together, and then ABC dropped it. Several months later, they then picked up Once Upon a Time, and Adam and Eddie actually had to read several issues of Fables, and Bill Willingham, who writes Fables, had to read several of the scripts of Once Upon a Time to make sure they weren't overlapping on each other. And it was actually Graham's death that made Bill Willingham say, "This is great, do your thing." So, being a huge fan of Fables, and I started seeing more and more stuff of Once Upon a Time, I was just like, "Oh, they're ripping off Fables! Oh, God!" And so I was like, "I'm not watching this show. It's going to be a terrible, terrible show." And then about a year passed, and I, because certain circumstances, I moved in with my sister. And it was when Sherlock Season 2 was going to be on PBS for the first time in America. And I was like, "I'm going to watch Sherlock. This is great. But we only have one television show, and it happens to be the season one finale of Once Upon a Time, so my sister wouldn't let me watch it." And I was so mad and upset. So then it became the show that was like Fable but kept me away from Benedict Cumberbatch, so I just hated it all the more. And so a few more months passed, and I started RPing with this Fandral blog on Tumblr. And if you don't know, Fandral is a character from Thor. And Josh Dallas played that role, and I started seeing her use these gifts of Josh Dallas in the RP, and I was like, "Yeah, this looks really cool. He's wearing leather, he's wielding a sword. What's this?" And she was like, "Oh, it's from Once Upon a Time." And I was like, "Oh, that show again. Oh, God, I hate it. I don't want to like it." But it did pique my interest, and finally, Angel, who I think is in the chat, Angel is my Captain America buddy. She loves everything Chris Evans. And she messaged me out of the blue one time. She was like, "Hey, Hope, I started watching the show, and I think it might interest you because Sebastian Stan is in it, and he's playing the Mad Hatter." And I was like, "Wait a second. You mean Sebastian Stan, one of my favorite actors of all times, is playing one of my favorite literary characters of all times? What is this show?" And she was like, "It's Once Upon a Time." I was like, "Fine, I'll watch the show, God." I had like 5 signs. And so finally I sat down and I downloaded a few episodes, and then before I knew it, I binged watched season 1 in 4 days.
Nice.
Oh yeah, and awesome. I was hooked ever since. So I went from absolutely hating the show to being here now in this lovely time. I gotta say, I'm a little salty right now because I learned about 15 minutes ago that Michael Sock is not coming back to the series regular. So there's gonna be a very mean blog written tonight after this.
But on the plus side, we got Rebecca Mader and, you know, the guy who plays Robin Hood, whose name escapes me right now. Sean McGuire.
That I would happily give up Sean McGuire and Rebecca Mader for Michael Sock all day. Yeah,
okay, I would give up Rebecca Mader, but not Sean McGuire.
Wait. When did Michael Soch is not coming back?
No, well, not as a series regular.
Sorry to break the news to you, Bobby.
I know. This isn't a podcast about that, but I'm sorry.
This is the first I've heard it. That's like,
Yeah, I just saw it 15 minutes ago on Bill and Anne Marie's Facebook page. So.
That's crap because, oh my God.
I know.
Can you blame them though? They barely used him. I mean, I'm sure he's not his fault. No, I'm not saying it's his fault, but maybe he wanted out of his contract because they weren't using him. We don't know the circumstances.
Oh, yeah. I'm blaming the writers all up and down all day for this.
Yeah, I'm not trying to blame him at all, but.
No, because he's a beautiful gazelle with eyebrows I want to brush. Like, it's not his fault at all.
I was not blaming him. Don't misunderstand me. I don't want to get yelled at.
Oh, I didn't think you were. It really upsets me.
I don't think we're yelling at you. We're just both an immense amount of fan pain right now. The fan pain is in right here in my lovely Greetings from Storybrooke shirt.
I am all Sean McGuire and Rebecca Mader, but they brought him on and promised to give us like his backstory for us Wonderland fans. I know there's not many, but you know, that's what I was looking forward to. And now I was just told live.
Oh, I know. I feel your pain. Like the first thing before you got invited into the hangout, the first thing that Liz heard from me was, "What do you mean? Michael Sock is not coming back?" Oh man. But
I digress.
I know we both digress because I could easily talk like that. I could gripe about this all day long, and I keep having to forget this isn't my podcast, so I can't swear on it. So now let us continue. So after 4 seasons, we're going on year 5 of Once Upon a Time. That's crazy. Year 5. Oh man. And
I always knew it would make it this far. I always knew.
I always guessed about 5. 5 good seasons and then 1 crap 6th season. Like, that's what I always saw in my brain. So,
don't make nasty predictions like that. A good 6th season. Good.
Wasn't Lost any 6th season?
Well, I didn't really watch that, so.
Because I only made it to season 4.
They lost me after the first season of Lost. I was just like, this is repetitive, it's annoying, it's not going anywhere.
Mine was that when Charlie... something happened to Dominic Monaghan's character. That's when I stopped for non-Lost fans. So that's when I stopped. But looking back over the 4 ups and down years of Lost, I want to know, what are the episodes that have stuck with you 4 years later? So who did we start with last time? Liz, let's start with Bobby.
You meant Once, right? Not Lost.
Yes, that's exactly what I meant.
All right.
I'm the best host ever.
The pilot, of course, because it did a good job of, you know, setting up the world. It was the episode that made me decide to come back. You know, of course, I said I watched the first few episodes anyway of each show. I'm not going to just watch one show and stop. That'd be stupid. But the pilot was great. This past season finale was awesome. I'm really looking forward to where that's going. And then my favorite besides those would be Think Lovely Thoughts, the episode where Rumple killed his dad. Because that was like as soon when Rumple offered, or I'm sorry, when Peter Pan offered Rumple breakfast or told Rumple what his favorite breakfast was, as soon as he said that, I was like, that's Rumple's dad. I'm not.
Really?
Yes, I'm not kidding. As soon as I'm pretty sure you can go back and listen to voicemails. I made that prediction.
So, I'm gonna add to this. Her name is like Phoenix something on Twitter. Her name is Sarah. She had found Rebecca's from Operation Cobra podcast, her Dragon Con season 2 panel, like fan panel, and like the one that me and Bill were on. That's actually how me and Bill met in person. She found that. And it was pre-3A, and apparently at the six-minute mark, I called Pan being Rumple's father. I don't even remember this. But I went back and I watched it, and I was like, whoa, I did call Pan being Rumple's father. Holy crap.
Like I said, as soon as he – I don't know what it was, but as soon as he was like, oh, you like the – well, I forgot what he called it, bird's nest. I used to call it One-Eyed Jack when I made it for my kids. But,
toad in a hole.
Huh?
Toad in a hole.
Is that what they called it on Once Upon a Time?
That's what I call it in the South.
Okay, well, there's like 100 different names for it. And so, like, as soon as he said that, I was like, that's Rumple's dad. And I'd like, and then everything that happened after that, like, little, there was always little things that would happen. I was like, oh, there it is. That's his dad. That's his, you know. So I caught that pretty early. And so when that episode happened, and, like, I was probably, like, jumping up and cheering, like, yes, I got it. So, and I love the way it all played out, and so yeah, that was probably my favorite, actually, that one episode.
I like it. Liz, what about, actually, I don't want to always have the last say, so I'm going to go.
Go ahead, I don't care.
Yeah, I don't want to always have, like, the last say, so, the three shows, the three episodes, I have three, and then I can honorable mention, because it was almost, it's the one episode I always watch if I have a bad day. For me, Hat Trick changed the entire course of the show. Before Hat Trick, there were only two worlds. There was Storybrooke, and there was the Enchanted Forest. Those were the only worlds. And then we go into Jefferson's Hat, and we walk into the Hall of Doors, and there's multi-worlds. There's every possibility to go everywhere. And in that one moment, it expanded the entire world of Once Upon a Time. And to me, like, that was one of the biggest game-changing moments that we've had in the show, like, up to any point. Even looking back at it, if it wasn't for Hat Trick, we would not have the exposure to all the worlds that we have now. And it's just, and Sebastian Stan just killed it. Like I said, he's the reason why I started watching Once Upon a Time, and I absolutely love the guy, and he's so good as Jefferson, and darn Marvel for stealing him from us. But that to me is like one of the most important episodes they've ever had in the universe. My personal second favorite episode is the Doctor. Well, for one, Dr. Wiles is my other favorite character. I'm so sad that they just have completely ignored him. But it was important to me because up to that point, we had only had fantasy and fairy tale characters. And technically, the Crocodile came before the Doctor. And Hook is a literary adventure character. He's not a fairy tale character. He's a literary character. But when we hit the Doctor, and we find out that we have Victor Frankenstein, this horror character who is not a fantasy, it opened even more doors to have even more characters like Mr. Darcy in Wonderland, and like having these literary characters fill this world, and we could go anywhere. And Victor was the first one there. Like, yeah, we had Killian revealed first, but Victor's been there since the beginning, and he was always there first. And so that was another very important milestone for us to have characters like Lancelot, for us to go to Camelot, because now we're out of fairy tales, we're actually in literature. And my third episode is Dirty Little Secrets from Once Wonderland. It is hands down one of the best written episodes of Once Upon a Time, and Emma Rigby just kills it, the entire episode. She should have won an Emmy for her role as Anastasia, and the Jabberwocky is just so scary. Will is just such a tragic character, not being able to do anything. Jafar is nasty. Like, finally, the nasty villain I wanted him to be the entire time. And that is just hands down one of the best episodes. And then my honorable mention is That's Still a Small Voice, because Archie is just my love. And whenever I'm in a bad day, actually, if I ever get a chance to see Mr. Sabarge again, I'm going to get I Will Always Do My Best tattooed right here in his handwriting. Like, that's my next tattoo. It's going right there. This space is reserved for Mr. Sabarge. So those are my episodes. That's
dedication right there.
Well, all mine are tattoos are fandom tattoos. That's my Harry Potter one. My Sherlock one's going to go right here.
Wait, I got you a Harry Potter one.
It's for the Harry Potter Alliance. It's kind of backwards right now. It's a heart with a lightning bolt, and I worked with this organization called the Harry Potter Alliance who use themes in Harry Potter to promote social justice, like send aid to Haiti and send books to Rwanda and stuff like that. And I worked with them for 5 years. And so that's my Harry so Potter. Cool. And so my Sherlock one's going to be right here in my best friend's handwriting, but she lives 2 states away, so I haven't got that one yet. And that's going to be my once one. And the reason I get fandom tattoos is because these are major milestones in my life. Like, I got that when I was in college, and it was a big change in how I saw fandom. My Sherlock one right here, I'm going to get... Actually, the reason I'm getting Sherlock in Once Upon a Time is... Well, one of the reasons I started watching Once is I lost my house to foreclosure, and I was homeless. And that's why I went to live with my sister. And so the Once fandom and the Sherlock fandom helped me get back on my feet. And wow. Don't give me your sad faces. I'm okay. I'm obviously okay. I'm in a house. But, like, so fandoms have always been an important part of me. So if I get a fandom tattoo, it means that fandom has deeply impacted me. And so that's why I'm going to get my Sherlock buddies and my Once Upon a Time friends like you guys. I want to always remember you guys. So.
Aww.
Yeah. And just tattoos are cool, guys. I love tattoos.
I have a tattoo. I only have one. But we're getting off the subject, though.
Yeah, so Liz.
We're totally getting off the track. We don't have Bill to keep us on track.
Yeah, that's my job, sorry. Hey, this is a fandom personal episode, so.
Well, my tattoo doesn't have to do with any fandom. It's a blue butterfly on my hip, and I got it when I was 21, and it's my representation of becoming a woman.
You're like Snow White. Snow White talks to butterflies.
There's actually people in chat.
Yay!
Yeah, hey guys. So I just wanted.
And Anna Marie's in the chat.
Yeah, I know. Shout out to Angel, CT Seth. I've never even
That's
seen
my boyfriend. That's my boyfriend.
Okay. Hi, boyfriend.
You and Anne Marie. Hey guys.
But Liz, finish this up now. What is your favorite 3 episodes and why?
Okay, so my first favorite episode is the pilot. I love the pilot. I can watch it dozens of times, and I have. And the reason for that is because it sets up the whole show. I mean, it's the for me, that was my addiction right there. I mean, from the first 5 minutes, we're seeing Prince Charming going, you know, riding the horse, trying to save Snow White. It was just so romantic, and I just loved it. The scenery and everything. That episode, it's just the whole plot thing. If it wasn't for that pilot, we wouldn't have a show. You know, so I think it's really crucial and really important. And then my other two favorite shows I'm just going to tie together are the season 3 finale and the season 4 finale. I love finales. They tie everything together, all the loose ends from the season. And I love the time travel aspect from the season 3 finale. It was like Back to the Future, you know, pretty much. It was pretty much Back to the Future. And that's my favorite series of all time. Like, trilogy, it's all about Back to the Future. That's my favorite trilogy of all time. So that, for me, that was a big deal, seeing the time travel stuff. And then I hater-rated over the season 4 finale at first, but then after watching it a second time, I'm like, okay, this is actually pretty good. So those are my favorite episodes.
I see you hating on the Whovians in your notes.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not hating on Whovians. The only time travel show that I haven't gotten into is Doctor Who. I tried to give it a chance, but it wasn't working for me. I was just like, this is way too out there for my mind.
Liz,
yeah,
it's totally okay. People like what they like, and they dislike what they dislike, so that's totally cool.
Thank you. Thank you for your support.
You're very welcome. So, okay, so we have all these episodes that we love so much, and, like, these episodes have impacted us. So while plot is great, to me personally, characters carry the show. Like, that, they are, like, the heart, the soul, the blood, and the breath of the show. So what characters have stuck with you through 4 seasons? Are the favorites still characters from season 1, or is the new cast and the new spots taking over that love? So what are your top 3 favorite characters? And you're also allowed to throw out one honorable mention, and I did that because I had to.
Who's going first?
I'll go ahead and start.
Go, Bobby. Go
ahead.
All right. First of all, I do want to say CT Seth asked in the chat room, who's the next non-Disney character that you all want to see in the show?
I've wanted Dr. Faust and Mephistopheles from season 1. I think Dr. Faustus would come from Victor's world, and I think Mephistopheles and Victor's would be total bros. They would be just like, hey, man, what's up? Not much, man. What's going on? Oh, nothing much. I'm just, like, making this little royal queen evil. What about you? Oh, nothing much. I'm just using the 7 deadly sins to, like, corrupt this guy's soul. All right, bro 5. Like, that would be Rumpel and Mephistopheles, and I've wanted them since season literary characters. What about you guys?
I'd probably say, like, maybe Phineas Fogg.
Yeah.
Or Captain Nemo.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that's what I want, is like a Jules Verne or H.G. Wells character.
Why?
Because it's not fantasy. It's not, you know, it's you know, I loved Hat Trick 2, but I've come to almost hate that episode and what it stands for me.
Why is that?
It stands for lost hope. You mentioned the few times that they've actually gone outside of fantasy. And it's great when it happens.
We haven't lost hope. She's right there. I'm just saying.
Oh, I have never heard that before. Ever.
But
I had to do it.
You know, that episode was great. And, you know, it made me, you know, wish, you know, made me hope for what was to come. You know, the worlds. There was a friggin' spaceship door in that hat. There was stuff. You know, it was crazy. And I was like, oh my god. And then it just, like, never came to pass.
What was that?
That was my phone.
That was the best timing ever. No, Bobby, I completely agree. Like, I always argue that, like, the end of season two, I always, as much as I liked the Neverland arc, I wish they waited to have the rights to it. Because I am probably one of the few people who loved Greg and Tamara. Like, I liked them because they brought in that science, and they brought in, like, that danger of this world versus fantasy. And I always had this, oh, that's my dog, sorry. I was like, why is there a siren? No, I love this idea of, like, I'm surprised they never went to Victor, first and foremost, because he was familiar with science and magic. They could have used him. And then one of the biggest disappointments was the fans had these amazing theories about Victor being the Wizard of Oz and Gerhardt being the Tin Man and Jefferson being the Scarecrow and Rumple being the Cowardly Lion and, like, Ruby or Emma being Dorothy, like, these amazing fan theories and, like, mixing all this steampunk science with magic and, like, God, that's the show I want. Like, that's my show that I wanted so bad. Oz was just a bunch of wasted potential for me. But even though Zelina has grown up on me because of her cray.
That's what I feel like a lot of this show has been, is wasted potential. Don't get me wrong, I love the show. That's why, well, that's most of the reason that I've stuck with it for as long as I have. Because, let's face it, there's been quite a few fans, even our own, you know, even our own listeners to this podcast, or Bill's and Anne-Marie's listeners, they, you know, have fallen to the wayside. There's quite a few.
Yeah, look at Rebecca Mader. She left after Neil died. And I can understand, like, that was a very, I stay and still not over Neil.
Rebecca Johnson?
Yeah, that's, what did I say?
Mader.
Well, maybe Rebecca Mader listens too. Maybe she was a Neil fan. She could have been a Neil fan.
But Liz, did you have any characters that any non-Disney characters? I know you one of the reasons you like Once is that you're a big Disney fan.
Yeah, I can't really think of anything. And I'm paying attention to the chat. And Dumbledore was mentioned from Harry Potter, I thought that would be really interesting. That'll never happen, but that would be interesting. That would totally be interesting because I'm a big Potterhead, so I don't even like that nickname. I don't think it sounds great, but whatever. So, I think anything Harry Potter related mashing up my universe is, oh my god, that would be amazing.
How's Moving Castle too? That's my other big one. Because How's Moving Castle?
Oh, I love Castle.
Oh, yeah. Have you read the book? Because the book is just like Once Upon a Time. There's actually a chapter where Howl takes Sophie to his world. And when they walk in, like, she's just scared. She's seeing these boxes with, like, little tiny people trapped inside it. And she doesn't understand. And what you realize is Howl is from Wales. And she's seeing technology for this first time, but she doesn't understand it because she's from a land of magic. Like, Howl is just like Rumble. He is a little poop face. So, like, they would just be real buds. That's my other one.
I got totally lost there. I'm like, wait, what is she talking about?
Yeah.
I think you're talking about the TV show Castle.
Yeah. No, Howl's Moving Castle. It's a book.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
It's all right.
Didn't they do an anime of Howl's Moving Castle?
And the anime is good. It's not very close to the book at all. But both the book and the anime are fantastic, but on their own separate terms.
Let me see, who was it? I just got lost in the chat room for a second. Someone was saying they would like Dorian Gray or Dr. Jekyll. Oh, it was Angel.
It was Angel. Yeah, I actually had that talk with her 3 days ago.
And then I'm also paying attention to the chat. I know this is Bobby's job, but I'm sorry. I'm cutting Bobby off.
Well, you're fine.
I can't see the chat at all because I'm running the Hangout, so I cannot see the chat.
TT Seth, which is Casey, who's my boyfriend. He's in the living room. I can't go out of the bedroom. That's a joke. He says, I want a spinoff of what goes on in the hat.
Yes. I would love...
that's a great idea.
If they ever do like another, because originally the idea for the spinoffs is each season be a different world. So like they'd be like once upon a time in Agrabah, once upon a time in, but of course the spinoff didn't work, and that was like the original idea. My theory is that Jefferson and Will has been traveling together since they were teenagers, and because of that, I mean, they've had all these adventures, and I would love for that to be a spinoff and just have it be David Anders and Sebastian Stan, and I'll be a happy thing, and throw Michael Sokka in there so they can actually bring back this interesting character. So everyone's gonna watch me lean awkwardly as I turn on a light.
So about the question that I posed originally, let's go back to the notes for that one.
Yeah, what are the characters that have stuck with you over all the years? So, Bobby, begin.
Okay, Rumpel, like I was saying, Robert Carlyle is like probably the main reason I actually started watching Once Upon a Time. So Rumpel pretty much very quickly became my favorite character on the show. He's remained up there, but what I find interesting is that one of my least favorite characters on the show has now become one of my favorite characters on the show, and that would be Regina. In the beginning, I didn't really like that they were just, it felt like totally from the beginning they were already trying this whole, you know, like this, everything was leading towards redemption. And I just kind of felt that there was so many things that the Queen had done terribly wrong, like horribly wrong, that, you know, there's some things that you just can't, you know, be redeemed from. But over 4 seasons, I feel like she's earned it. You know, I mean, again, you know, she killed an entire town because they liked someone that she didn't. But
why can't anybody get over that? Everybody always brings it up.
We'll get over a massacre. That thing in Boston, we'll just overlook it. It's a massacre when we started a war, whatever. But, who needs independence? There's no America anymore.
Things went all historical on us.
You've got a vault of hearts.
History. Drop the mic.
I was a history major too.
I was this close to being a history major. High five.
But all of that aside, I do feel a character that is kind of in the same vein. I was a huge fan of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And so, like, I almost put her arc along with, like, Spike's, where, like, when in season 6 or whatever it was, when Spike, like, fought to gain his soul, like, Angel was
his
soul, and Spike had to fight for it. And, you know, that's kind of what happened with Regina. You know, she had to fight for her happy ending and, you know, make it on her own. And, you know, like I said, over 4 seasons, she went from like one of my least favorite characters to now one of my favorites.
I can definitely see that. To me, like, even though Regina's not my favorite, like, I out of probably everybody in the main cast, especially now that they took someone away, she's the one that I feel like is the most important character at the moment. Like, she, especially since she's Emma's savior in a way now, she's kind of taking up that role, even if she's just Emma's personal savior. And she really is, like, I think one of the most important characters in the show.
Let's not forget that Lana Parrilla kills it every friggin' week.
Oh, yeah.
I think that has a lot to do with it, too.
Well, do you want to go next, Liz, or me?
Go ahead.
Okay, Hope, who are your 3 favorite characters and why? Well, I've said it already, Jefferson and Whale. They are ideal gray characters for me, and there's not that many gray, like, this whole weird season of heroes and villains, I feel like they were a lot of the setup for that.
Like, now we have these, like, you know, heroes have become villains, villains have become heroes. And, like, I feel like Jefferson and Whale did it better in a shorter amount of time than, like, Killian or any of them. They are just such great characters. And when Regina and Rumpel are having these crazy moments where the Mad Hatter looks at them like they're insane and he's the sane one in the group, that's saying something. And I just, there's so much about those two characters I want to know. I want to know everything about them. I want to know their entire lives. I want to know how they made it. It's just such a shame to me. And then, and I just want to throw out that I don't know what kind of Dr. Whale is. I don't understand what kind of doctor he is, because my retired gynecologist stepmom was watching the show with me, and she was like, what kind of doctor is Whale? And I'm like, well, he was David's coma doctor. He did surgery on Hook and Greg when they were hit by cars and stuff. And now he's delivering babies for Snow. And she goes, yeah, he'd need 8 more years of residency for each of those to do any of that. So I just wish they would use him better. My next favorite character, if it's not obvious by the direction of this podcast, is Will Scarlet. Michael Sacha carried Wonderland. He just, from the first moment you see him to the end, like, he is the star player. And it just makes me so angry what they did with him, because he got me through the Frozen arc. I didn't really give flying pigs about Frozen. But I lived for those moments to see Michael Sacha and to see Will Scarlet and what is he going to do next. Like, he was always so interesting, and he was the smartest character on the show. He outsmarted Snow and Emma and David and everybody. He's the smartest character in Storybrooke because he's like Jefferson and Whale. He's that logic character. Jefferson and Whale use their logic. They're not based in, like, true love, kisses, and rainbows, and unicorns. Like, they use their brains, and we don't have smart characters on the show anymore. They're all dumb as bricks. And I love them to death, but they're dumb. And he's just so charming and funny, and he lights up a screen every time he's on the screen. He just steals the scenes. And I just wish they gave him better material through season 4, because I was scared that this was going to happen. I knew, but when he was only in one shot of the finale, I knew they were letting it go. And I'm just so angry at the writers for dropping their most interesting character. And I guess my honorable mention, I just wanted to throw out because I couldn't choose, is Archie. I love Archie. He's the best. He would be the richest man in Storybrooke if everybody went to therapy with him. He'd be richer than Mr. Gold. He would. And he would just fix everything. And I think he should be mayor. And I wish they would just use Archie more, because he's such a great character. He really is the best, nicest character in the entire thing. He's more pure than Snow White, and I just wish they would use him more. If it's not obvious, all my favorite characters are minor characters, because the main cast bores the pants off me almost every week, and I love the minor cast. Aww. Give me Leroy, give me Ruby, give me Granny. I really don't care about
I wish Ruby Charlie. Could come back to the show.
She can! She had an entire season of not doing anything. And the thing is, she was filming the same movie that Keegan was in. And Keegan came back this season, and they were in the same movie filming together. They were both in Dead Rising. Dakota came back, too.
I don't know why she hasn't come back, is what I mean. It's like, you know, she has the opportunity. She's not doing anything. I mean, I don't know her schedule or her life or anything, but I'm like, I would love to see her back on.
I'm gonna give you the answer in 2 words. The writers.
Did anyone notice, maybe it's just me, but in that last episode, you know, when they were all in the diner towards the end of the episode, in the background there was someone, there was like a waitress at the counter getting an order or whatever, and she had the short skirt on and the midriff white shirt, just like, she, from the back it looked like Red, or Ruby rather.
It's probably a double because they didn't get
her. I'm sure it wasn't her, but I'm saying it looked like they dressed her to make it look like, oh, see, Ruby's right there.
That's crap, because it did the same thing to Raphael Sabarch. He had at least, from Frozen to now, in just this season, he had like 3 scenes cut. They paid him to come out, they filmed stuff, they had all the promo pics for him, and they cut at least 3 scenes with him this season alone, and he wasn't in those episodes, which is crap.
I agree.
Because then we got stupid Frozen. Frozen, let it go.
But where were we?
Let it go.
Oh, God, where did I start?
Frank, that's for Anne-Marie right there.
I'm more excited about the fact that they're making a show for Tangled.
Tangled. Oh, my God, I'm so excited about that.
I'm so excited. Oh, my God, Rapunzel's my princess. I can watch Tangled every single fucking day of the week.
Yeah, I like Tangled much better.
I would love that.
And the fact that it's going to be Mandy Moore and Zach, whatever his name is.
Levi.
Well, Levi. I don't like him because he took over Josh Dallas's Vandrill. So,
well, it wasn't his fault.
Yeah, I know. Well, Josh made the choice, but like, I honestly, when Charming went under the coma in season two, it was like right when they started, like we're getting ready to film Thor, and I was like, he's going to be Vandrill because Charming's going to be sleeping for half a season. This is going to be great. But it didn't happen. That was sad. No. So, all right. So we are, where are we? Where's my little handy dandy timer?
It's my turn. Favorite characters, and I'm ready.
Yeah, okay. Do it.
Favorite characters, Liz.
Same August.
August.
Ah, I love August. He's definitely in my top 10. I feel you, girl. I feel you. I do. Did he smell
that's,
good?
That's from Regal Con.
Did he smell good?
He smelled amazing. It was so nice. He was so sweet. Like, he held me so close. And I'm like, why am I... Sorry, baby. Why am I not single right now? I'm like, he was so dreamy. Oh, my God. He was so dreamy.
I think every couple should have a celebrity exception. Like, if you ever have a chance to, like, have an adult relation with a celebrity, I think every couple should allow that because it's going to make a heck of a good story.
Well, I mean, I have my list of celebrities that I'm allowed to, you know, but he's not on that list. Like Iron Man and you know, Robert Downey Jr., Will Smith. and, oh my God, I forget my other one right now. But I have like three guys that I would like, you know, I'm allowed to cheat with him on. But
what's your list, Bobby? What's your list? Your three celebrities.
God.
Okay, I'll do my wife while I'm thinking about it. Tom Hiddleston. Oh gosh, it's such a hard toss up between Benedict Cumberbatch. I just want to have a nice conversation with him because he has had a very interesting life. Like, he was kidnapped in South Africa and held at gunpoint. I mean, like, he's had, like, and he's lived in Tibet to study with monks. Like, I just want to have a long conversation with Benedict Cumberbatch, and I'll take that as one of my three. And the other one is, and I hope he's not watching, Michael Sacco. Though I have to say, like, I have two exceptions. Like, I would never want to break up Josh and Jenny, and I would never want to break up Helen and Colin O'Donoghue, but I just want to touch Josh's arms. I just want to feel them and then be just like, there, have a great life. I just want to feel your arms. And then with Colin, I just want to feel his hair, and then, like, great, have a great life. Like, that's my little thing. I'm an arms and hair girl. I love arms and hair.
And Hugh Jackman. That's my other one, Hugh Jackman. Wolverine.
Oh, that's a good one, too. Oh.
Yeah, no, I'm purposefully naming my first son Logan.
Yay! Are you having a baby?
No. In the future.
Okay, was that an announcement on greetings from Storybrooke? A little baby.
No.
Have all the babies, Liz. Enjoy. Bobby, what's your list before we go on?
I honestly don't have one, Hope.
Okay, so we're gonna pick Bobby's list. So he's going to want to have one night stands with Cher.
No, and, God, no.
And Mick Jagger.
God, no.
And Mick Jagger, and no, to tie it back into no. Once, he's gonna be in a cuddle fest with Adam Minetti.
I'm not even into one night stands. I would love to meet and get to know Maria Bamford.
Boo.
I'm sorry, I just don't have. I don't know. I just know, you know.
We're going to move on. What's going on in the chat?
Right? Well, okay. we have some new people in the chat. Angie Bell. Hello. Let's see. Tim.
Oh, Angie. I know Angie. Yay. Hi, Angie.
Tim Delroy. Oh, Sage is here.
Yay.
Okay. I guess that's all. Well, we've got a pretty active chat tonight, actually. A lot.
Yay.
More than I thought there'd be.
Did anybody ask any questions for us?
Let's see. Well, this isn't any. August Swoon. Angie Bell says she liked the Frozen arc.
Yeah, we've had talks. But that good talks. That sounded really, really dangerous. We've had talks. No, we've had great talks and debates about that.
And they better explain what happened to Anastasia, unfortunately. I don't think
they're going to. I don't think that's going to happen because Michael Frost is not on the show anymore.
I'm just going to send this entire video as like a 1 hour like gripe about taking him away.
Now we're just going to go back into this Michael Socha
Well, that just shows how much fans love him. So instead, I'm going to pull this back since we have two more points and we're about 45 minutes in. So we're actually doing great on time.
Real quick, thank you, Tim Delroy, for saying, why is Bobby not a teenage girl?
why are you not a teenage girl, Bobby? That's the better question for this podcast. Why?
Oh, you're asking me to, like, fawn over celebrities, and it's like I don't have Tiger Beat posters on my wall.
Tiger Beat? I haven't heard of that since the 90s. So I'm going to reel this back in, since we only have two more points left. So with season 5 coming, we're, of course, in a very – we're in a long hiatus. They announced that Once isn't back until, like, the last weekend of September. It's going to be almost October by the time Once comes back. It's a long hiatus.
It always comes back at the end of September, though. That's always been like that because my mom's birthday is at the end of September, so I can easily keep track that way.
You know when Once comes back, but not your mom's birthday. That's great.
No, like, last year it started on September 29th, and that is my mom's birthday. So I'm like, happy birthday, Mom, at 8 o'clock for watching Once Upon a Time. Forget your birthday. It's Once Upon a Time now.
That's okay.
I was born like that. I'm a horrible daughter, I know.
No, that's not horrible. My entire family watches Once, except for, like, my dad. So
I was like, we're going to an early dinner, Mom, and then we'll watch Once Upon a Time. I took over her birthday.
So what would you guys like to see from season 5, whether it's characters or certain plots or what? So, Liz, you go first.
I'm typing. Sorry. Where is Emma? Where is she? I want to know. Where the hell is she? I'm passionate. I'm just like, where did she go? That's what I want to know. And I really feel like Rumple will eventually, and this is my theory. I've already stated it this on the last podcast. So I'm going to say it again, that I think that Rumple is eventually going to be the Dark One again. I think Emma will be the Dark One at least half the season, something along the lines, and then it'll go back to Rumple because I see his character being so boring without him being Rumple, like the Dark One. I think it's going to be boring. Like, what the hell will they do with him?
Yep.
So that is what I want to see in the 5th season. That's my prediction, and I just want Hook and I just want the characters to be happy, but that's not going to happen until the series finale, so I don't know. And I'm not happy Rebecca Mader is a series regular because I hate the Wicked Witch. I'm the kind of person that doesn't like the villains because you're not supposed to like the villains, so that's me.
I love villains. You can't have a good villain, a good guy without a good villain.
So that's me. That's what I want to see.
Actually, I'm going to go off the question you said for a second. Since we all are kind of agreeing that season 5 to season 6 might be the end, how do you think the series will end? I'm throwing this out at everybody because I'm going off your answer, but how do you think the series will end?
I think the series will end with everybody getting their happy endings.
But what
that's the most ideal way for that to happen, I think, is for the show to end.
How do you think their happy endings will end up doing, though?
I think that Snow and Charming won't have to search for each other anymore. You know, I think that Hook and Hook and Emma will be together. I'm hoping that Henry will get a girlfriend at some point. He's getting old enough.
I've always wanted it to be Grace, like Jefferson's daughter, because I think she already. In Hat Trick, she was like looking back at him like 5 times, like, Henry's over there. So, like, I've always, since season 1, I've been shipping Grace and Henry together.
That's cute.
What about you, Bobby? How do you think the series will end?
How do I think the series will end? I don't know. Maybe magic coming to the real world. Like, you know, I don't know. I think that'd be a little too, I don't know. The way they've written the show out, it's almost like it's like the real world. And so you almost can't end with just like the portals being opened and magic coming to the real world or anything like that, because I don't know. It's just weird. I mean, the whole happy ending thing is probably what it will be. I kind of hope it isn't just as simple as that, quite honestly.
Anne-Marie says that would be boring.
Like, exactly. Yes, exactly. I mean, and I'm not, you know, no offense, you know, but I mean, it's just, of course, that's what it would be. And I feel like hopefully there isn't a lot of evidence for this, but hopefully the writers realize that too, and they're working towards something. I don't know. Maybe if someone was saying that maybe the darkness is like the other half of Merlin. So like maybe the two of them are merged. I don't know. That would depend on if this season is the last one or not, which I kind of hope it isn't. I would love for like some sort of retooling where it isn't necessarily just about Emma and her being the savior and trying to convince everyone, or vice versa. It's always been like this weird back and forth flip, but there's so many different things it can be because there's so many different literary worlds.
Mm-hmm. I would like, well, I'm going to agree with you. I wish they would focus on people other than the Charming family and all that, and bring out some other people, and even just like have it to where they shift to kind of like a newer cast, but they still have it open where the old cast can come back and like make appearances and help out and stuff. But that being said, I think it's going to end with the cast being split. I think half of them's going to go back to the Enchanted Forest. Like, Snow and Charming are going to go there with Baby Neil. They're going to rule the kingdom, but they're going to have to make the hard choice to leave Emma, who wants to stay in the real world with Hook. And I think they're going to
do that.
Yeah, but like this time it's different. Like, they, like, people choose to either stay in Storybrooke or go to the Enchanted Forest, and that's it. Like, there is no going back. Like, and that is the final choice. If you want to go with magic or stay in this world, and it's going to split the town, like, and it's going to be like almost like an exodus. Like, people have choose whether to stay or go, and like maybe like Ruby and Granny choose to split. Like, Ruby stays here and Granny goes back, and like maybe the dwarves get split up, and like some of them stay and some of them go, and it's going to be a very emotional time. And Snow and Charming know they have to go back and rule this kingdom, but they have to leave Emma, who makes the choice to stay in Storybrooke, instead of like, oh God, there's a curse coming, we must decide this in 5 minutes. Oh God. Like, it's actually like a choice by the characters to make this split. So
I like that. That's nice. I like that.
But back to the original question, Bobby, what would you like to see from season 5?
I haven't really been thinking about it all that much. I try not to think about what's going to happen a lot because I don't know, don't want to spoil myself. but I kind of want, I mean, everyone is saying that they don't want Rumple to stick around without powers. He'd be so boring, blah, blah, blah. Why? I want to see, you know, what he's, you know, him struggling without powers and not being able to, you know, like, he's, it's shown power to him. Power's like his drug, like magic is his drug. And he, and, you know, they've shown it quite a few times, you know, like he acts like an addict, choosing it over other people and rationalizing it to himself, you know, that he's doing it for good, for the good. You know, he's not hurting them because in the end, you know, it'll all be fine. So it'll be, I think it'd be interesting to see him have to struggle with not being able to hide behind magic. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's what I'm looking forward to in season 5.
Yeah, I'm kind of on the same boat. Like, I haven't really thought too much about stories. The only story I want to see is not a regular anymore. So I'm kind of like, oh, wow. But I haven't really thought much about it. I don't really care that Emma's the Dark One. It's not like, oh, God, Emma's the Dark One. Like, I just don't really care. And I don't really care that Rumple is not the Dark One, because I have not liked Rumple. I liked Rumple as a villain this season, but as the character of Rumpelstiltskin that I used to love so much up until this season, I don't like it. So I've been on this like weird like Rumple boat. Like, I like him, what he's been doing, but at the same time I haven't liked him. And the Charmings bore the pants off me, and like, what is Regina gonna do? She got her boo back. So like, honestly, the characters that I was really most like waiting to see was Will Scarlet, and I was hoping we'd get answers to that. That being said, what I want out of season 5 is I want them to go back to the full season format. I'm so sick of this half season. It only worked for Neverland, and even then we didn't even get all the questions to Neverland answered. And I wish they would bring back more of the minor characters. Like, I miss, I was rewatching a season 2 episode, and you look in the background and you see Leroy and Archie and Whale and Ruby. Like, I want to see and look in the background and see the characters that I love. And I miss them. I miss the ensemble of the show that was season 1 and 2. Like, the show was an ensemble. And the half season format starting in Neverland destroyed that. And I want that back in my show because that's the show that I love. I also wish they would make more Once Upon a Time comics, because Once Upon a Time could easily be a monthly comic with so much stuff, with so many characters. They could do like little one-shots each week of all the characters, and Marvel should have it, and I will read every single issue. I love the comics. They're right over there. I'm actually on my dad, so I was looking through them today. So, all right. So our very last point, because we're starting to push the 7 mark, or the 7 mark, the hour mark, and I don't want this to be more than an hour, because that's what their shows usually are. Actually, before we go into this last part, Bobby, check the chat. Anything cool?
Okay. I was just in here. I am sorry. I was trying. It's hard to do this. I don't see how they do this every week.
Oh, I know.
It's
a tough job. So we now have proof when we are all like, Bill and Anne-Marie aren't in the chat. We have proof that it's actually hard. So Bill, Anne-Marie, our hats off to you. Thank you for that.
They're saying they won't end the show till it stops making money.
Mm-hmm, I agree with that.
Disney's happy ending, okay. They didn't say everyone is... Okay, I'm sorry. They say that if Once Upon a Time were a book series, they could do anything, because then they wouldn't have to worry about...
Ruby actually has a book coming out this fall. I think it's out in September, and it's a Ruby book, and it's more of her background in the Enchanted Forest. Though at the same time, I don't know what they're going to do with it, because we know that she eats her lover. So she ate Peter. But Ruby does have a book coming soon.
The thing I brought up about Merlin, it was Sage that brought that up. I believe it was the round table when she said that, the listener round table. Please don't make it a theory. Oh, I'm sorry, Sage. I wasn't trying to throw anything on you. Hamry says she'll take over the ice cream shop. And Grumpy and Nova end up. Oh, of course, yeah. Dreamy and Nova, Grumpy and Nova end up together.
God, I love that episode. That was in my favorite episodes. That's a personal favorite of mine. As poorly written as it is, I love Lee Arenberg, and he just kills it in that episode. Him and Snow.
That was the commentary that Bill and Hamry just released as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, you guys should go watch that, because it's. I miss having Snow and with her dwarves away from David. Like, I actually wrote a little thing about it recently, about how that's one of the best parts of Once Wonderland is Will and Alice's friendship, is because they were never romantic loves. They loved each other, but they never wanted to get into their pants. And we don't have that guy-girl friendship anymore in Once Upon a Time. We don't have David and Ruby. We don't have Snow and the dwarves. We don't have Regina and Archie. Like, they don't have these guy-girl relationships anymore to show that friends can be opposite genders and friends. And I miss that. That's something I would also like to see in season 5.
They're saying that they were looking forward to, like, Greg in the real world invading Storybrooke.
Mm-hmm.
They're wondering why people haven't found Storybrooke yet.
I still argue that the guy who mops the floor in the asylums is Greg's dad. Like, I still think that's Greg's dad to this day.
That asylum is totally out of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, I also wanted to say, Bill and Anne-Marie, I am one of the people who listen to your commentaries while I'm at work and not watching the show.
So. I tried that one time and it did not work.
Well, I just, like, have Pocket Cast, and so I just play all my, I have everything on automatic download. I play the playlist at the beginning of my day, and I just never take out my headphones.
So is Bill and or Anne-Marie in the chat still?
Actually,
Anne-Marie just left.
That's exactly what I was just going to say.
No!
Sorry.
No, because this last part is for them. Well, we're just going to do it
anyway.
Maybe
she'll come back.
So, chat, if you can see this, I want you guys to join in. And after we give our little spiels, we're going to go back. Bobby, I love you for doing this, because I'm just now making you do it. We want you guys to join in what we're doing. So we're going to get personal and end the show as a surprise for Bill and Anne-Marie. We didn't tell them that we were going to do this part of the show. So to end off, we want to talk about what greetings from Storybrooke and Anne-Marie and Bill and what they mean to us, and like what this podcast and this show means to us. So Liz, you actually have a written down answer, so you go first.
Okay. So let me pull this up. I want to say it right. So Bill, Anne-Marie, and the Greetings from Storybrooke podcast mean more to me than I can explain, but I'll try. This podcast has given me a place to belong. I have made friends here, and I have people I can talk to about my favorite show. And I'll admit, things got personal with Bill at RegalCon, and I had a couple of deep conversations with him that were really nice. So I appreciate this community very much. It's meant a lot to me to have some place to go to talk about my favorite show, because I've never had this before. Sometimes I'll have one or two people that watch the same show that I do that I can talk to, but a community like this I've never been a part of, and it's very special to me. So that's what I wanted to say.
Bobby, do you want to go next or me?
I'll go.
It's only up to you because I'm going to be saying mine just straight, whatever.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I've been listening to podcasts for shows since, like, Chuck. There was very similar to this, actually. It was a husband and wife doing a YouTube type. They like did a short video podcast and then a longer audio one. And I listened to that every week. And ever since then, I've been hooked on podcasts. I don't even listen to like music or anything anymore much. I just listen to podcasts. So whenever I like a show, one of the first things I do, you know, once I realize I'm invested in the show, is start listening to a podcast about it. So around the second season, I started looking for podcasts to listen to for Once Upon a Time. I probably found like four or five of them. I wish I could remember the names of the other ones off the top of my head. But it's been so long since I listened to those because like I downloaded four or five different podcasts, started listening to them, and slowly but surely started dwindling it down until I found the one I wanted, which was Greetings from Storybrooke. And I feel like the reason that I love Greetings from Storybrooke so much is because, like Elizabeth said, even though I've been listening to podcasts for years, this is the first one that's been, I mean, interactive isn't the word. I mean, this is like, every week we get together, you know, it's just a small group of people, but we get together and are able to share our thoughts and our feelings. And, you know, it's about the show, but it's really, you know, more than the show comes out here. I mean, this is a group of friends that get together every week, you know, from all around, you know, you're in Georgia, you're in California, I believe.
Germany.
I mean, it's just crazy. I've never seen a podcast that has, you know, just connected so many people with. There's never any negativity on here towards anyone. Everyone's so welcoming, and it just means a lot to. It means a lot to me. So yeah, I don't know.
Did you? Anne-Marie said we love you, Thor.
Oh, all right, so I grew up in fandoms. You know, I remember being in fifth grade debating Pokemon, who was better, Misty or May. Like I grew up in fandoms my entire life.
Misty.
Yeah, I agree totally. Dawn gives her a run for her money. But certain fandoms have stuck with me throughout the years, which is why I get fandom tattoos. And the Once Upon a Time fandom is one of them. I mentioned that earlier in the podcast that, like, you know, I lost my house and I lived with my sister for a bit. And it was the Once fandom and the Sherlock fandom that helped me get out of that rut and get back on my feet. Well, a big part of that was Greetings from Storybrooke and some of the other Once Upon a Time podcasts as well. And a lot of those other Once Upon a Time podcasts aren't even around anymore, but Greetings from Storybrooke is very much a staple in my life now. You guys are staples in my life. And podcast friends are special, man. You guys don't know the bad times where I've DM'd a Bill on Twitter, and I'm just like, Bill, I'm having technical difficulties. How do I do this? And, like, every time he'll, like, send me an email, like, I can't get to it now, or he'll be like, I'm free right now, let's talk. And, like, he's helped me with, like, tech stuff. And just past that, like, having Bill and Anne-Marie there as support to and being just such great friends and even just helping me discover other interests. Like, I don't know if I would have watched Gotham if you know, I was interested in it, but when I saw that they were doing a Gotham podcast, I was like, yeah, I'm going to watch Gotham just so I can hear Bill and Anne-Marie's podcast. And Bill and Anne-Marie are just, I'm so sad they're moving to you, Bobby, and away from me because I didn't get to hang out with them very often. But to me, they are the nicest people you will ever meet, and they are incredibly funny, and they are so welcoming, and I know that sometimes I can be a brash and a jerk face, because there's a lot of conversations you guys don't see, and I am sorry for those, but they are the nicest people you will ever meet, and they're so welcoming to everybody in this community, and there's a reason that people know who they are, and that they've been nominated for so many awards, because anybody can come to Greetings from Storybrooke and be part of this community. If you're a new listener
or if you're an old listener, like we want you here. And a lot of that is Bill and Anne-Marie are the best hosts around. They will take in anybody and everybody and will love you unconditionally, no matter what. And they are some of the best friends a girl could have. And to even be go a little bit further, I mean, you guys, because of Anne-Marie, I met you guys. We're having a podcast together. There are people in the chat room. I brought, you know, Angel's now in there every week, and she's one of my friends, and Sage, and everybody. I'm not looking at the chat room, so I'm sorry, guys. I don't have the chat room pulled up. I can't see it. But, like, you brought us together, Bill and Anne-Marie. Like, you introduced me to Bobby and to Liz, and, like, we're friends because of you guys. Like, I wouldn't have these two wonderful, beautiful people in life if not for you guys. So, I mean, thank you for bringing us all together, and thank you for Greetings from Storybrooke, and thank you for your time and your energy, because I know you're not getting paid for this. Thank you for giving us a place to belong.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay,
the
Bobby.
The feels.
Bobby, look at the chat.
Throw some shekels to the Patreon, everyone.
Yes, go support the Patreon, because podcasters do not get paid. I wish we had a link to the Patreon, but go to Universe Box and there's a link to their Patreon, because take it from a podcaster. We don't get paid for this. But that's the best way to support Bill and Anne-Marie, is to donate to the Patreon. And then you get fun goodies that nobody else gets, and it's super great. So go. And also write them around reviews on iTunes so people can find their podcast better. So,
Anne-Marie gives you a hug, Hope.
And she says she was bad. You guys were bad in the beginning. And no, you weren't.
No, you weren't.
No, you weren't.
Sage says the reason she listens is because of their charm and personality. It is your charm and personality that make it easy to get along, and the fact that your other listeners are awesome is a bonus. Muster likes this podcast because it seems fun, and the others seem to take it too seriously. They like the silly conversational tone. Angel, what? Seriously, it feels a bit more interactive. I don't know. Angie says, I haven't really listened to this podcast before, although I went to the panel for it at RegalCon.
Angie, I wish I got to see you, because I wanted to meet your baby. She had a new baby recently, and she was adorable.
Where in California are you from, Angie? That's what I don't want to know.
We'll get you guys hooked up after this.
Sage again says they are charming and funny, and they make you a part of their podcast. They make it feel as if you're contributing while you are listening to awesome hosts. Again, like Liz said, Anne-Marie throws you hugs. I guess that's really all of the all that people say in the chat as far as how they feel about Anne-Marie and Bill. I wish we could have been able to listen to have people send us voicemails.
But I could be perfectly honest. I just learned how to use Google Hangout like 3 days ago, so that's not going to happen.
Oh, no.
That's not going to happen.
Anyway, but it would have been great to have voicemails.
I know what we should do. Listeners, okay, so we're going to have a new plan now. Because Bill and Anne-Marie are about to move states, they're going to have a little bit of time off. Send them over the summer hiatus. This is your fan Greetings from Storybrooke challenge. Ready? You're going to send Bill and Anne-Marie a voicemail of what they mean to you. I wish I had the number from Greetings from Storybrooke in front of me. It's 424 something 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 4352. Oh, I do that from my mind. It's not the number though.
Wow.
Go to greetingsfromstorybrooke.com, click on the voicemail button, send them a voicemail, and let Anne-Marie and Bill know what they mean to you. Bobby, I just cut you off. What did you say?
I think it's like 274-2352.
Yeah, that sounds like numbers.
Anyway, Anne-Marie says they can send in the voicemails. They're going to air the show again live at 8:30 on Monday.
All right. Well,
that's going to be so meta. We can be in a chat.
We're in a chat. It's Greetings Inception.
We're in a chat while we're watching ourselves live.
Oh, God.
Okay, so Anne-Marie put the number up. It's 424-274-2352.
Okay, so between now and then, oh, gosh. And probably the week after this, because if they're not going to air it until Monday, then people won't see this to do this. So within a week after this airs on Greetings from Storybrooke, please go and send them a voicemail. Let them know what they mean to you. Let them know how much you love them, because the three of us certainly love you guys to death, and we thank you for everything. And thank you for letting us take over your podcast for an episode. This is great.
This is so much fun. Week. If you don't feel like calling in voicemails, you can always record an MP3 as well and send it to greetingsfromstorybrooke@gmail.com.
You can also leave the messages on their Facebook page and send them a tweet too, which is, I think, GF Storybrooke on Twitter and then Greetings from Storybrooke on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
So, their Facebook has been a little quiet. Go light it up. Like follow up what it says. Light it up.
I feel like once the season starts, you know, once we start getting more news about, you know, new cast members or new characters coming on or anything like that, I hopefully we'll see some more activity on the Facebook page.
Yeah. Well, thank you for letting us take over your podcast and letting us tell our personal fan stories and what the show means to us and what you guys mean to us. So, Bobby, where can people find you?
Like I said at the top, every week I call into Reading from Storybrooke as well as Legends of Gotham and Universe Box. Other than that, my Twitter is at Inevitable Hawk. I don't know why I chose such a freaking stupid name, but Bobby Hawk.
It's the best name!
Well, Bobby Hawk was taken by a youth pastor, in which I am totally not.
You look like a cool guy, youth pastor Jesus guy.
Yeah, I'd be the dude over there in the guitar. Yeah, it's not me. But yeah, that's where you'll find me.
Well, Liz, where can people find you?
I finally have Twitter!
Yay!
So people can find me on the Twitters at Queen_Liz87 and on Facebook as always.
And then you can also find me at Hope Molinax. I have my own podcast called Hope of All Trades at twotruefreaks.com. I'm also on the Doctor Who show. Since my website, my poor website is still crashed and down. We're having a hell of a time rebuilding it. So you can find me at What the Fangirl at the moment, writing for them. So yeah. And I might be writing a very angry Michael Sokka blog tonight on there. So we'll see. So yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you, Bill and Amory, for letting us take over your podcast. Thank you, Bobby and Liz, for joining me in this crazy adventure.
Yay, this was so much fun.
And then, yeah, so I guess until next time,
greetings from Storybrooke!
Yay!
Thank you, guys.
Ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka,
ooga. We actually had to listen to that about 17 times when we were getting prepped and everything. But no, thank you guys so much.
Thank you guys. Seriously, that was awesome.
Yeah, especially there at that last 10 minutes. I'm just going to save that as my – I'm going to save it as my ringtone.
And now every time someone calls, I'll be like, Amory is amazing and wonderful. Yay!
We like Greetings from Storybrooke.
It's awesome.
It's cool
Yay!
Stuff. Hope says in the chat room, by the way, she's still writing the Michael Socha blog. Soka?
So that's going to be about 17 pages
okay.
long,
though? so some notes real quick.
Notes.
On the agenda. First of all, Anne-Marie, do you have anything?
Yeah, I'm good.
You're good? Okay.
I'm going to let you give the notes.
It was really weird because I felt like you guys were doing a cover version of the podcast.
A little bit.
And it was just really weird sitting outside of the format that we created and watching it go down. And kind of seeing how you guys kind of reverse engineered the whole thing too, which I mean, all of you guys have been on the show. You've seen the docs and stuff, so I'm sure it wasn't that hard. But you know,
copy and paste,
like all the little the little flourishes we put throughout the episodes. Just seeing you guys put them in there and stuff. You guys are paying attention. It's weird.
They must be taking notes.
Yeah, something. And yeah, of course, you know, right there at the end, you know, just like heartwarming. I actually watched it ahead of time, so I wouldn't be crying when we came back. Although I forgot that you guys took 10 minutes to end the episode. No, no, it was good though.
Thank you.
I honestly, you know, if we're killed in a freak lightning storm tomorrow,
there we go.
Greetings from Storybrooke. We'll go on with under the auspices of our wonderful listeners.
Auspices.
Now we'll be back next week with another Once Upon a Time commentary.
Yeah.
And the next week and the next week.
And the next week.
And then probably a spoiler party or something like that.
Yeah, it's about a time.
For yeah, about time. After Comic-Con and all that stuff goes down.
Comic-Con.
So, Anne-Marie, where can people find you online?
You can find me on Twitter at AMDSimone.
And as for me, you can follow me on Twitter at Bill Meeks. You can find all of the wonderful podcasts we do at universebox.com. There's Greetings.
Greetings.
There's Legends of Gotham that talks about Gotham. And there's Universe Box, which talks about everything.
Hey, and then we kind of did this cool thing yesterday where we recorded a Lost podcast.
Yes, this is very true. And this will be coming out through the Greetings feed later on this week. But we recorded a beta episode. We've never seen Lost, really.
No, not really.
So we're going to watch it. And it's one of the Patreon bonuses that can be unlocked. But we figured we'd do a pilot episode.
Yeah. So give you a little taste of what we're so lost.
Yeah,
it's
just
like, hey.
Look in the feeds for the We're So Lost special later on this week on the Greetings feed.
And we're getting there. We're currently at $177.
$177.
And we need to get to $325.
So close.
But yet so
close. So
far.
Close. Well, you know what? We're at the end of the fan episode. I feel comfortable throwing real numbers out there. We get 8,000 to 10,000 people listening every week. If all of those people threw in 10 cents...
10 cents.
We'd make it. If 1% of those people threw in $5, we'd make it. So you could, you're one of the 1%.
Yeah.
Right? The 5%.
10 cents, 50 cents. We're cool.
Yeah. It'll happen.
Make it happen.
Patreon.com/universebox. But I guess that's about it. And like I said, we'll be back next week for the commentary. Thanks again to Hope and Bobby and Liz and everyone who hung out in the chat room with us tonight.
Seriously.
For the super meta replay and everything.
Super meta replay.
So until next time.
Greetings from Storybrooke. Ooga chaka, ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka, ooga chaka, ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka, ooga.
Twinsies.
Twinsies.
We got to show you.
Where's the Emery camera?
Emery cam. There we go. Yep. Twinsies for the winsies.
Twinsies.
That's what I always say.